It is Tuesday, July 24th, 2012. I am Steve Groeck, the webmaster of www.gerweck.net, Groeck.net, your source on the World Wide Web for all your pro wrestling news since 1997. And at this time, it's a pleasure to welcome to the website a very beautiful woman who just won a very prestigious title over the weekend. And she's also number 18 on our Hot 100 list of the most beautiful women in wrestling. Today, I give you Barbie Hayden. How are you doing today, Barbie?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing very good, and congratulations on winning the Joshi title over the weekend.
Thank you. I'm so really excited about it. I've had butterflies ever since I got it.
Why don't you go through that match? Tell us, where it took place, maybe the little history of the championship, and who you faced to win that championship.
Okay, well, it was at Anarchy Championship Wrestling in Austin, Texas. They're based out of Austin, but they also run shows in San Antonio and also in St. Louis. It's kind of the air of ECW for people who like the kind of extreme wrestling, and they do have normal matches as well, or, like fed matches. But they do also have Anarchy, as kind of cliche as that sounds, is really Anarchy. I mean, you can throw in weapons whenever you want, and, there's kind of like, it's just open and crazy, and the fans are so dedicated and amazing. It's unbelievable. And this this title, has been held by definitely some of the best, if not the best, women on the independent circuit, and women who have worked for Ring of Honor, and women, who are just absolutely talented and beautiful, and they're the greatest competition, ever. If I can put over any girl harder, it would be, the Anarchy girl. It was a four-way match, which is right up Anarchy's lane. They love crazy matches. The former champion, Angel Blue, was the first eliminated, and it was Portia Perez from Canada and Athena and myself who kind of worked together to knock out the former champion. And so the crowd erupted because they knew that there had to be a new champion, which was, it was great to see that response, that they were so excited. And we fought it out pretty much three-way style, and Athena knocked out Portia Perez for the 1-2-3. She was eliminated. And then it came down to Athena and I. I had the upper hand, and then Athena had the upper hand, attempted a superplex on me onto a chair, and I reversed it with a tornado DDT onto a chair, Spikedronic for the 1-2-3. And here we are on Tuesday, and I'm champion. Yay!
I was gonna note kind of up front. We said that you're one of the most beautiful women in wrestling, but on the flip side as well, if you go through some of the pictures at your Facebook page and look you up on the internet, you're not afraid to bleed. So that you've been in those hardcore matches that you've mixed it up. So you're not afraid of the blood out there in wrestling.
You gotta be tough. I mean, not to totally quote Jackass or anything, but. You gotta be tough. You gotta be tough. You gotta be tough. So I guess that's kind of my excuse.
Now it is Tuesday the 24th, and of course last night was the 1,000th episode of Monday Night Raw. Obviously, it's kind of the buzz of the wrestling world today. We got a chance to see, DX's reunion. We saw The Rock last night. We saw what would have been the wedding between Daniel Bryan and AJ. We saw Lita beat up Heath Slater thanks to some friends. We saw, for the very first time, somebody cashing the Money in the Bank opportunity and didn't win the championship. Of course, that was the CM Punk-John Cena match when the Big Show interfered last night. And so today is kind of the buzz of what happened last night. And I got a chance to see the show, and I think you did too. Kind of your thoughts on last night's big spectacular from WWE?
I try to keep up with WWE as much as possible. Of course, it's impossible to watch it live ever. I always have to DVR it and kind of trying to skim over and catch up later. Of course, you know, it's smart to keep up with all the big companies, make sure you know what's going on, what's going on with your competition and where you want to work. And last night I had an opportunity to sit down and watch the entire thing. I was so excited. I was like, finally, I get to sit down and relax. And I was really impressed by it. I mean, there wasn't necessarily wrestling after wrestling after wrestling, but, you know, to me, it was really fun, and it was quick-paced, and it kept you entertained. And I was so excited to see Lita make a return. I thought that was really neat. I adore her. I think she's really awesome. But I really thoroughly enjoyed it, and it kind of felt almost as if I was watching an Attitude Era WWE Raw, you know, because it kind of had that chaotic feel to it, like they did, you know, back in the Attitude Era, and that was always really fun and kept people entertained, and I was intrigued. I thought it was run really well, and the matches they did have were great, and I was shocked. I really had no idea what would happen with the, you know, CM Punk angle that they were working. I think that they worked that really well, so good job on their part. Yay. Clap for them.
Kind of the flashback to the Attitude Era. Of course, DX was back there, and we, of course, we saw the Outlaws, and the X-Pac was out there once again, and of course, people were wondering where China was, but I guess maybe if we know the history of China, maybe we can kind of figure out why she wasn't there. Of course, we had this.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, that last incident where she had some trouble at the adult film conventions where she kept collapsing. I guess, you know, you don't want to bring somebody in that may need some help at this point. Don't want to put her in that type of environment. I understand people, and I did too. I thought for a DX reunion, you know, one time maybe bring her out. I was actually talking about, remember the girl Tori was in DX for a while? I thought they could have brought her out too. Well, I can't remember her name off, Terry Posh, her real name. Well, they could have brought her out too at one point, but they didn't, you know, they didn't go in that direction. Of course, you talked about Attitude with Paul Heyman and Stephanie out there really getting into a war of words. I thought that was well done segment. And I agree with you. I thought overall it was a pretty good show. Now, a couple names that were kind of missing were, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And hard to think of a Monday Night Raw without Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then
and I actually was surprised. I figured Edge would be there.
Right. Yes.
You know, not for any particular reason. It's just, you know, he's such a big name for them. And, I don't know, but then whenever Lita came out, that almost immediately squashed my thoughts of him being there as well. Kind of back to the China thing.
Yeah, a couple names also I think we're missing were Stacy Keibler and Tori Wilson. I thought they were
kind of
important in that Attitude Era. You know, Terry Runnels was not on the show. You know, flashing back to some of the girls they would bring in for those bra and panty type match. Deborah, remember Deborah from... From the Horseman days as well. So there were a couple notable exceptions. Obviously, I was a little disappointed with Bret Hart. He came in and basically just introduced the IC title match. I thought he would do a little bit more, than maybe give a speech of some sort, but he was just there to introduce Miz and Christian for the IC title match.
Yeah, we were a little let down by that. I'm not a not for any particular reason. I've just never been a huge Bret Hart fan, but that's not to say I don't respect him and want to see him. And I was really shocked to see that he just kind of really, it wasn't even that good of an introduction. I mean, not to throw him under a bus, but it was almost as if they were just kind of like, here's your one line, have at it. You know, like, you could tell, but he was kind of underwhelmed.
Yeah, it's like, you know, we're bringing in Brett from Calgary. He flies all the way down to
and he has like five
St. Louis.
Words.
Yeah, it's like, okay, Brett. You know, you're one of the greatest world champions of all time. Go out there and introduce an intercontinental title match. It's like, okay. So all he gets to say is, you know, I won the title from Mr. Perfect, and Mr. Perfect is a great intercontinental champion. And okay, here's today's IC championship match. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
it's kind of disappointing. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good show, and it's going to be interesting to see now that Raw has graduated from the 1,000th episode. They're going to be 3 hours every week, and I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard for them to put on, you know, an action-packed two-hour show. So 3 hours is going to be interesting. They loaded this one up. They had all the previous stars come back. They had the wedding angle. They introduced AJ as the new general manager. They had the Brothers of Destruction reunite and all that. All that's going on now. you know, what do you do next week? You know, it's like
yeah.
you threw everything in that basket, and what's going to be in the basket next week, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm just having wishful, you know, hopeful thinking or wishful thinking, I guess, but I kind of hope that since they had the NXT thing get kicked onto the internet, you know, instead of them having, like, superstars or NXT or whatever during the week, I'm kind of hoping that they'll give more of the new guys, new girls, a chance or push, you know, even if it's just opener, mid-card, whatever, a TV spot is a TV spot. I'm kind of hoping that with a three-hour segment, they might start, you know, giving some of the new guys a little bit of TV time, you know, Monday Night Raw. So hopefully, maybe that's wishful thinking, but hopefully.
Well, they don't have the time for it. Like, to devote some more time to the Divas would be nice, devote some time maybe to a light heavyweight division. Remember, they used to have a junior heavyweight division.
Yeah, I would thoroughly enjoy either one of those.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. While we stick with WWE, I just thought, get your perspective on what's going on with the Divas in WWE. Obviously, AJ is getting the focal point of the storylines, and we have Layla as the women's champion. They signed Sarah Del Rey, which really surprised a lot of people, and we've also seen them depart ways with Karma. So I guess overall, what's your kind of opinion of the Divas right now in WWE?
You know, it's one of those things where it makes me feel really hopeful because the girls they are pushing right now. You know, I'm not spectacularly tall or spectacularly gorgeous model looking. You know, I don't feel like I have just that, okay, we'll put you out there, you're so gorgeous that you're over, go. You know what I mean? And so it's nice to see girls who are more average height, girls who are on the indie circuit, you know, such as Layla, I don't know about her being on the indie circuit, but, you know, we're like the same height and, you know, about the same build. And then seeing someone like AJ, who was on the indie circuit before, who can be on a microphone apparently all day long, which is just fantastic to see from a female, it makes me feel really hopeful. You know, that's really exciting to me. And then with Sarah Del Rey getting signed, she is, well, I guess not anymore, but she was a Joshi for Anarchy. And so, you know, that's somebody that I'm working alongside, you know, that is working the same, you know, some of the same companies that I'm working, some of the same shows that I'm working. And that just really kind of opened my eyes to, okay, I'm not putting in all this blood, sweat, and tear, you know, for nothing. There really is a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, I'm not just working to get nowhere or to just stay at the same level or stay at the same place. Like, it just, I don't know, it's really exciting to me because whenever they had just Kelly Kelly and E. Torres on TV and that's all they were pushing, you know, it kind of, you know, kind of makes you feel insecure. It makes you feel like, well, crap, if I don't weigh 100 pounds or if I'm not like 5'7" or 5'8", then I have no chance, you know? But then they just have this wonderful wave of change whenever they started pushing girls like Beth Phoenix and Natalya and started to push Caitlyn. And it's nice to see girls who are very muscular and you can tell really hit the gym hard because I personally am a big weightlifter. I love lifting weights. It's something that I thoroughly enjoy. It's a great outlet to me and stress relief, and I love the results I see from weightlifting. And so it's nice to know that you can still lift weights and still, you know, kind of achieve what you want to achieve and get pushed. And so I think there's a good change that they're making, and they're starting to appease to the people who are actually wrestling fans compared to just, you know, beautiful women fans, I guess.
Have you ever worked with Sarah Del Rey?
Yes, I have. I've actually had a match with her.
And what was your kind of your reaction to Sarah signing with WWE?
I think it's wonderful. I really do. She is about as far from what you would expect to be signed as a diva as you can get. Well, Buggy Nova, actually, is right up that alley. But I think it's so exciting. Sarah Del Rey is such a humble, down-to-earth, sweet person, and I mean, anyone that's ever seen even a smidgen of her work can see that she is one of the most talented female wrestlers, or wrestlers, just in a general sense. And I can't explain to you how much she deserves to be signed. Like, if anyone really fully deserves to be signed, it is her. So I think it's wonderful.
It's amazing. We've done a lot of interviews here, and Sarah Del Rey's name always comes up as, like, one of the most talented women out there that has never gotten an opportunity. So it's great to see that she got signed, that she'll have an opportunity there. And, you know, I've already, people are saying, you know, they'll never use her correctly and she'll never get the right push or whatever. But, you know, we'll wait and see. Obviously, we didn't think she'd ever get signed, and now she did get signed. So let's hopefully
whenever people
wait
say
and
that,
see.
Yeah, I hate when people say that, because it's not always how they use you. It's how you present yourself. And I feel like they see an opportunity in her to kind of change things around and throw in some, you know, more technical wrestling. And, I mean, it's one of the things where, yeah, they have the ending say, but if you push yourself and you push your beliefs and you let them see your heart and see your vision, and I feel like she will do that, then I feel like, you know, they will use her in the correct way. If she lets them know, you know, hey, I'm here, this is what I can do.
Let's talk a little bit about Anarchy down in Texas. That's out of Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
So if you're ever in the area, you want to check out some of the action there. I believe we've talked to a couple of the girls that, you know, work down in that area. You were talking about Portia Perez, who we used to have kind of as a regular here at girlwick.net. She did some podcasts with us, was doing a regular podcast until, I think, in true Portia Perez fashion, she turned her backs on us and turned heel on us and kind of disappeared from the scene. So
that makes sense.
That makes sense with Portia. And then, of course, Rachel Summerlin we talked to. Of course, she is the granddaughter of Ivan Putski. So that, you know, the lineage there, some bloodlines run, you know, thick there as well. And talk about some of the other girls in Anarchy and some of the action that you're involved in currently with that promotion.
You also have Jessica James. You have Poison Ivy. They just had the Queen of Queens tournament, which featured Jazz, you know, from WWF.
Right,
What's that?
Yeah, because I remember seeing some pictures, and I believe you got a chance to even team up with her.
Yes, I've actually been working her and working with her a lot lately. We keep crossing each other's paths, which is just wonderful. I love working with her. She's a great talent, great person. So that's been amazing. And I'm trying to think who else. Christy Von Airy. And then you have Jessica Havoc. I'm trying to think who. I want to make sure I'm not, like, missing anyone or not touching base on somebody. I don't know. There's just it's crazy. The list goes on. Daisy Hayes has worked there. As I mentioned before, Sarah Del Rey. And I don't know. You just have, seriously, such an amazing line of women, and they're all just, I don't know, just so talented, and especially in their own rights. Everyone is so, it's so diverse, and it's, I don't know, it's great. It really is. There's a little something for everyone. If you enjoy women's wrestling in any way, shape, or form, you will enjoy these shows, because they have it in every way, shape, and form. So, you know, that's kind of the best way to describe it.
Now, in addition to Anarchy, you've, of course, worked for the NWA out of Houston, and
yes.
You've won the NWA Lone Star Women's title as well. And
yes,
obviously, there's
the first one. Yay!
Okay. Congratulations on that.
Yes.
The inaugural champion here.
I'm like, in your face. I'm just kidding.
You set the style for that championship, but that's great.
Oh, yeah. I just, like, threw it in your face, so it was so bad.
No, obviously, what's going on with NWA is a big dispute over the name and kind of a legal battle. I just wonder if you are abreast of what's going on there, follow it, or maybe have an opinion on what's currently going on with the NWA.
My opinion is I'm really excited because my boss, Tony Brooklyn, he and Bruce and one other gentleman, I don't know his name, I've never met him before, they now own the NWA. And they settled it out, and I think it's really exciting because NWA Houston is really, like, my home base. It's one of my home bases. Of course, I started in Austin at a, you know, at a training deal there. But NWA Houston was the first big company to really give me a push and really kind of put me out there. And, yeah, so I'm really excited about it. I think it's going to be a great opportunity, and hopefully everything goes smooth sailing, you know, as much as possible. And hopefully it means more traveling in the future, because I love Texas, but it's a lot of fun to get out of Texas. And so I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, Bruce Tharp, that's the name you're looking for there with NWA. So that's going to be the new direction of NWA. So we'll see how things, transpire from there. And I guess we should probably go back to this beginning, because, a lot of people may not be familiar with you. How did you get started in wrestling, and what piqued your interest to get into this wacky world of professional wrestling?
Well, my wonderful boyfriend, who I just celebrated our 4-year anniversary yesterday.
Congratulations.
Thank you. He was the one who, I mean, honestly, if it weren't for him, I wouldn't have even started watching wrestling. We've known each other forever, and he's always been a fan since he was a kid. He's always loved wrestling, and he's always wanted to, you know, he's always looked up to wrestlers and, you know, really wanted to do this. And I started watching wrestling with him, about 4 years ago, and I fell in love with it. I went to a live show, and I saw Mickey James, and I just fell in love with her. I thought she was amazing, and it kind of gets into your blood. I know that sounds weird, but it gets into you, and you can't get rid of it, and it takes you over. That's kind of what happened. I mean, honestly, right after I graduated from high school, in fact, I graduated on a Friday, and the following Tuesday, I started wrestling training, a wrestling academy run by George De La Isla, who was Mr. Mexico back in the day, back in like the 70s and 80s. And he was my trainer in Austin, and he murdered us in training and gave us a really good foundation. You know, taught us our basics and drilled them into our heads over and over and over. And then after a year of training, we had to each go through a graduation ceremony type thing where you were in a 1-hour gauntlet, and you had, I believe it was 5 minutes or something to that extent with each person, and a fresh person came in, you know, every couple minutes or whatever it was. And so for 60 minutes, you had to stick it out and wrestle and pretty much just take moves the entire time. And if you could pass that, then you passed his class. And it was extremely tough and excruciating. And I was the only girl in the class, so I trained with nothing but a bunch of sweaty, smelly, tough dudes. And I was their ragdoll constantly. But I'm so grateful that I went through that, because he would tell us, if you can make it through this and make it through this hell and how boring this is and how tough this is, he was like, you can make it through anything. Like, you'll be okay past this point. It'll only get easier from here, which he didn't mean, you know, easier as in like it's going to be easy peasy, but, you know, it wouldn't be that excruciating. And that helped give me a really good foundation. And then from there, I started going to, you know, companies, and I would drive hours upon hours just going to meet promoters and just say, hi, I'm new, how's it going, think of me in the future, hopefully you'll book me, you know, whatever. Drove around forever, and then finally started getting booked at places, and it just kind of skyrocketed from there. And I wrestled usually anywhere from 2 to 4 times a week, because I feel, and I also heard an interview by Jim Ross saying that indie workers need to get in as many bookings as possible, you know, to kind of get your body accustomed to working all the time and having a really fast-paced life and having a really busy schedule constantly. And so that's, you know, that's kind of what I've been trying to do. Anyway, me and my boyfriend, we travel together a lot. And, yeah, so That's been kind of the journey.
It's interesting because, you know, when you sign a developmental deal, they assign you to Tampa and you work for Florida Championship Wrestling, or, you know, in the day they have Ohio Valley Wrestling, and those are the only shows you could work. So if you were very green, you were working with only really green wrestlers. And obviously, I think what Jim Ross was saying there is you need a great schedule to go out and work different styles and different opponents and different territories, different fan bases. And when you go to Florida, you know, not to get totally critical of WWE's developmental system, but you're working the same crowd, you're working against green wrestlers, well, you know, untrained, or not, I mean, not, they're trained, but obviously they're not fully developed, and that's the system they've kind of adopted now with WWE. So, but I think it's good, like in your case, that you get different experiences, you travel outside of Texas, you go really wherever the promoters will book you, you face different women, you face different, you know, you wrestle in different styles, and that, of course, will pay dividends for you, you know, later on in your career. So I think that's great.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But no, back to what you were saying, though, I mean, I couldn't agree with you more, because you have to be diverse, and it's hard to be diverse, because, you know, you kind of get used to what you're doing, and you want to stick to that, but it's going to be challenged, and to be scared, you know, that sounds weird, being scared, but, I mean, really, though, you've got to kind of have those butterflies, and be nervous, and be put in situations that you're not comfortable with, you know, to kind of get you accustomed to working in front of these ginormous crowds that they want you to entertain.
Right. Talk about the kind of person you were in high school. Were you athletic, and were you like the real popular type back in those days?
I guess so. I'm such a laid-back human being in a general sense. I was always just so nice to everyone. It didn't really matter if some of my best friends were cheerleaders, some of them were on the dance team with me, some of them were in band, some of them were in drama, some of them didn't do anything at all, you know, so I tried to just keep an open mind, because I've always felt like a little bit of an insecurity, at least a little bit, with myself. And so I would always try to not judge others for whatever people might think might be their flaw, whether it sounds bad, but whether it be their race or if they were skinny compared to fat or, you know, dorky compared to popular or rich or whatever. I've, you know, always just been kind of open and chill with everybody, you know. I don't know. It sounds like super cheesy, but that's really – that's how I try to be. I try to just be friendly with everyone, because I would want everyone to give me a chance, you know, and so I don't want to just, you know, judge others before I get to know them. And so I don't know, but I've always been really athletic. I've always been I was in softball as a catcher for 11 years and played on tournament teams and, you know, yada yada, state teams, stuff like that. And then I would do, like, you know, everyone goes through their middle school and, you know, whatever phase where they play volleyball and basketball and every sport you can name off. But I always stuck with softball. And then whenever I got into high school, I went more, instead of the cheerleading route, because I did cheerleading in middle school, I went the dance route. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was something that I thought was great. And I was an officer. I was, you know, one of the captains for 2 years, my junior and senior year. And, you know, I loved it. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was great. And it helped keep me involved and in shape, of course. And then I did, like, student council, and I did Spanish club and, you know, all that stuff. I really, I made really good grades. Yeah, I always try to stay really involved in school. I'm a big believer in the school system. So.
Now, you were talking pretty much right after high school, you went into wrestling. You know, started training and went in school there. And what did your friends and your family, what was their reaction when you told them, I don't know, I think I might try this professional wrestling thing?
Oh gosh. Well, my parents were shocked because they were like, "You're our baby girl. What are you doing? You're so smart and you're so good at dancing and you're supposed to be going to college right now." And, you know, I definitely got that whole spiel. And not to say there's anything wrong with going to college. I do want to still, you know, finish out a degree and everything. I'm not just trying to avoid college by any means. I just realized that there is a time clock on everyone's body. And if I don't try to fulfill this dream at a young age, then I can't wait until I'm 30. You know what I mean? And so I figure, you know, why not start now? But, yeah, my mom still hasn't come to any of my wrestling shows to see me wrestle. So that's kind of disappointing. I wish, you know, she would. It's getting to where now she's starting to kind of understand it. I know it's, you know, it's been several years, but she's just now getting to where she's kind of like, okay, now I understand why you like this. You know, they fully support it. They love it. They think it's such a neat thing. My dad didn't really accept it, you know, too much, and we actually got into a few arguments about it. But it's getting tough to talk about. Sorry. The first show that I was going to get to be a part of, I wasn't wrestling or anything, but I was going to be a part of it as my training. And he was going to come and support me because he has literally supported me through anything and everything since I was a kid. And he passed away. So, yeah, that was really tough. In fact, on Thursday is the 3-year anniversary of his death. And so, yeah, not to bring that down to like a totally depressing level, but that's the truth of the matter. So I don't really know if he accepted it or not. I know that he was going to support it, you know, which is great. Obviously he was going to come to a show, but, yeah, I don't know. My friends thought that it was nuts. Of course they were like, well, you've always been kind of out there. So this isn't, you know, too weird, I guess, but, I don't know. It's been a lot of mixed emotions for a lot of people, but my extended family, like my grandparents and my cousins and my aunts and uncles, you know, have been very supportive of me and, you know, have come to see shows, and my siblings have come to see shows and everything. And my boyfriend's parents are just, they really have helped me through a lot of tough times and have been 112% the entire time supportive. And, so it's been nice, you know, to especially have them behind us, because he has half siblings, but he's an only child, and so, you know, with them together, and so, you know, they're very supportive of him and of me, and that, you know, that helps a lot. So, yeah.
Well,
now
I'm very
depressed, everyone. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I sympathize with you. It's got to be difficult. Some people say, you know, I understand where you're coming from. I've been very fortunate. I've still had my parents still with me, and it's got to be tough at that age to lose anybody that close to you, especially your father. So I feel for you there. That's difficult, and that's unfortunate. But I'm glad that at the very least he was supportive of your, you know, your decision to go into wrestling, and that you know, he could embrace it, even though he didn't necessarily agree with it exactly. But you know, that's what a father's there, you know, to support you and support his little girl. So I'm glad you at least got that opportunity to, you know, be with him and sharing that experience with him. Yeah. I want to talk a little bit too about, you know, we were talking about your hardcore style and of course the blood and everything. Have you, had any major injuries thus far in your career?
I've been struggling with, back pain a lot. I know that sounds probably like, yeah, no duh. But, I don't know, I was thrown into a submission, I guess about 2 months ago, and, it really kind of did a number on my back, and, it popped something in my lower spine, and so I've been really struggling and been kind of having to work around that pain. But, you know, it's kind of impossible to just take time off unless you have a doctor right there telling you, you know, okay, this is broken. We have to fix this. So I don't have anything broken, so I don't really, I don't feel take time off. And so what I've been doing instead is kind of working around that with my wrestling. But other than that, it's just been minor here and there. Like my elbow got popped out of place, or like my shoulders have been popped out of place or jammed. Jammed like 12 fingers at this point.
Ouch.
But, yeah, all of them. but no, nothing, I mean, nothing like broken, no MCL tears, no, you know, nothing like that, knock on wood, no concussions. So thank you, God, for for not killing me yet. so yeah, it's been not too bad.
We're going to mix in some questions from Twitter. Cool. We got a question here from Brent. I wanted to know your reaction to being number 18 on the Hot 100 Women of Wrestling from GirlWick.net, which, by the way, you can check out the list if you go to GirlWick.net and the down tab for information. It'll say the GirlWick.net Hot 100 Women of Wrestling. Cheap plug there. And so Brent wants to know, what was your reaction when you saw you were number 18 on the list?
To kind of touch base back on what I was saying before, I've always been kind of insecure because I have two older sisters who are drop-dead gorgeous, and I've always been kind of insecure that I'm not that pretty or that, you know, like, in shape or, you know, whatever it might be. And so, like, whenever I'm even considered for a top 100, I am, like, way too excited about it. And I was recently on a list, and I was, like, number 54. And I was, like, completely depressed. I was like, well, okay, I'm on the list, but I'm also, like, so ugly. You know, I was like, so sad. And thanks to Lance Hoyt, who is a really good friend of mine, that's actually how I found out about Gerwick. And he was
thanks,
like,
Lance.
Hey. Yeah, thank you, Lance. and so I saw the list, and I was so thrilled. And I was so excited because Mickey James is the one who beat me. and I cannot be more excited. And Tara, I believe, is number 19. And so those are two girls that I absolutely love and look up to and idolize. And so I was like a little kid on Christmas, way too excited and giddy, to be honest. So, yeah, that's that. I probably shouldn't be that excited, but I was. I was like, top 20.
Yeah, Lance is a good guy. We always appreciate talking to Lance, and one of those guys that really we hope gets a chance to go back to TNA or WWE. I think he's sorely missed from the U.S. perspective. Of course, he's wrestling in Japan, which is great. He's getting the bookings, but we definitely miss him from, you know, American television.
Yeah.
Either seen him in WWE.
And he's gone to Australia after this, after his Japan tour.
Right. So
and
we.
And then he goes back. It's like, oh my God.
You know, yeah, you know, with Raw expanding, they could use another superstar like Lance. So, you know,
yeah.
A cheap plug for a good friend out there to Gerwick.net. So, but let me say quickly about that list, because we just had on another wrestler that didn't make the list, and she was a little upset that she didn't make the list. And I got to say, it was a very tough list to put together because, you know, I'm friends with a lot of girls in wrestling. I've met a lot of them. So certainly to put a list like that together is difficult because you have a little bit of bias. You know people, or you've seen them, or you've talked to them, or whatever the case may be. But what I tried to do was throw it out to the fans, throw it out to wrestlers I knew that I got a chance to see some of the women on the independent circuit. The promoters, obviously, are the ones that are booking these talents, and, you know, get their perspective on who do they think is, you know, very attractive and is a, you know, should be a member of the Hot 100. And obviously, when we put the survey together, you know, you did very well, and that's why you made number 18. But it wasn't, you know, we didn't put people higher or lower because we're friends with them or not friends with them, or we don't like their style, or we don't like their look. It's just, you know, we put the list together, and it's tough to do because there's, you know, when we put the list together, we probably had over 200 names, and then all of a sudden you're putting this into, you know, a top 100, and you're going to leave out names, and it was not, you know, we did not purposely leave people out because they were who they were or where they were or where they came from. So,
yeah.
As I said, you know, you did really well. You did very well with fans. You did very well with promoters. And you obviously did very well with the independent workers out there that are familiar with you. So that's why you did, you know, so well. And
so cool.
Who knows? Yeah, who knows? Maybe in future years you'll be even higher on the list. Who knows?
That would be so cool. Oh, my gosh. I'd be way too excited again.
Maybe next year you can beat Mickey James. You never know.
Ooh. Those are fighting words.
Who knows?
That's totally okay.
Stranger things have happened for sure in this business. So.
Yeah, true that.
Going back to WWE real quick, another question here. Somebody wants to know if you've ever made contact. Have they reached out to you? Have you reached out to them? Maybe met Johnny Ace, Johnny Laurinaitis? You familiar with the talent relations department at all? Have you, have you made contact with WWE?
Yes, I have. And I had an interview with Johnny Ace, with Mr. Laurinaitis. It didn't go swimmingly, I wouldn't say, or I would say, because I was so green and so terrified to be there that it was just so overwhelming. I don't know. I'm trying to think now. 2010 was whenever I went in. And I don't feel as if I was open enough with them. I was just so, I literally was nervous. I was shaking. Like, because that is where I want to work. And I almost said live, which technically, I mean, hey, I'm a floater. That's cool. I'll live with them. But, like, I mean, it was just surreal being there. And at the time, like I said, I was so green. And I didn't know what I was doing, why I was even there that quick. And I feel like I kind of dropped the ball on it. But, you know, I think that everything happens for a reason. And I really feel as if that happened to kind of open my eyes to show me how stiff the competition is and how real that is. And it's a goal or a dream, I guess, that's not out of reach for me. And I don't know, it really kind of fueled my fire. And so I have been in talks with them, and I have had contact with them before. But, you know, we've got to keep working towards our goals and kind of, you know, pushing down doors. Sometimes the doors don't just open for you. You have to push them down. So I'm totally willing to do that.
What did they tell you? I mean, you know, when the interview ended, they give you any encouragement or any suggestions on how to develop your career?
I would like to kind of keep that private, if that's okay.
Okay. Sure, no problem. Let's move on to TNA. Do you get a chance to watch TNA Impact Wrestling?
You know, it's funny because I normally watch TNA, like, more live, I guess, than I get to with WWE for some reason. That's kind of how my schedule, I guess, has been working out. But I love watching TNA. I work with Taylor Hendricks on the indies, and big congrats and kudos to that girl getting, not tough enough, what is theirs, gut check.
Gut check, yeah.
Yeah, she got the gut check opportunity, and she did absolutely amazing and fully deserved that contract. I mean, she is so freaking out of this world, full of personality and talent and beauty, and so, you know, it was just awesome that she got that. She got that contract and got that opportunity. And so, I love watching TNA. I really do. For me, it's a really good forum to study because they have several women's matches. And so, you know, it's nice. And they also have the cruiserweight division, or I'm sorry, what do they call theirs?
X division.
X division. There, thank you. They have their X division, which is really nice because girls can often take a lot from the X division because these guys a lot of times are about our size. You know, I'm not undermining them by any means, but I mean, the truth is a lot of these guys are around 5'5", you know, around there and about our weight. And so it's nice to kind of see what they're capable of doing to see if I'm capable of doing it, you know, and that type of thing. So it's a good study for them for sure.
How do you critique yourself? Do you watch your matches back? Do you have other people watch your matches? How do you critique your matches and maybe learn from your matches?
All of the above. I'll talk to my opponent and, you know, and even, you know, I was saying, like, even talk to my opponents and, you know, kind of discuss, like, what went on in the match and how I can improve or what they, you know, what they think and, you know, discuss, like, what might have went wrong or what went well or whatever. And other than that, I have such a great group of guys who, and girls, but it's mostly the guys right now that fully support me. Like, I have Jack Stain, and I have Funaki, and I have Lance Hoyt, and Rob Conway, and I'm not name-dropping by any means. That's not what I'm meaning, but I have people like this, and Jacus Pliskin, who have been there, who have done that. You know what I mean? Like, they've been where I want to be, and they work the style that I love, and you know, I'll ask them, or they'll come up to me and, like, they'll tell me critiques, and they're like, okay, if you kind of tweak this, or if you don't do this, you know, and that's amazing to me, to have anyone who cares enough to tell you what they think about your match. You know, that to me is amazing, and it helps a lot. And then I'll go back and I'll watch, you know, whatever I can on YouTube or whatever, or if I have a DVD, and I take notes. And if I watch it, not thinking about it being myself, I'll watch it from a fan perspective. And if I saw something that looked it looked awkward, or if it didn't flow well, or as a fan perspective, if I was kind of underwhelmed by something, then that's what I take note of. Because you can critique yourself all day long on the little things, but fans don't always notice those little things. They like to see the smoothness, you know, the smoothness, I guess, of the match. They like to see that it makes sense. They want to see the character. And so whenever I critique it myself, I try to kind of take note of what I think a fan would see or what they would like to see.
No, shout out to Rob Conway. We, of course, interviewed him, and he does follow the website. We do appreciate that. And, of course, he just was recently injured, just had surgery. So we want to wish him a speedy recovery out there. I know he's probably listening. You know, Rob, get strong and get back in that ring. We do miss you. And tell us about Funaki, because you know, here's an interesting guy that was on that roster, WWE roster, for a long time, and they seldom used him. And now he's, I guess he's out helping people. And, you know, tell us about Funaki and what he's up to these days.
Okay, well, in fact, Funaki helped kind of gear. It's really a good mix of Funaki, Rob Conway, and Jack Stain, and even Lance Hoyt, in fact, who kind of push this promotion of Branded Outlaw. It's Branded Outlaw Entertainment, and it's in San Antonio. And they really help all the guys in the back and girls, you know, and they critique our matches. And Funaki is such an interesting character. He's one of these people that if you totally blow a spot or blow a match, he doesn't really, like, raise his voice. He just gets, like, this really discerning look on his face. And he's, like, it's so sweet. It's, like, the sweetest approach of getting yelled at, I guess. He's, like, remember when you did this thing in the match? That wasn't good. Don't do that. And he's so calm and so respectable. Like, he's such a great person to work with, because he is somebody that knows what he's talking about, and he critiques you in a way that doesn't terrify you, and you want to listen to what he has to say. And so that really, I guess, is kind of like his big thing right now is Branded Outlaw in San Antonio. You know, he's a big part of it, and an amazing talent, you know, a great person. So I really enjoy working with him.
That's awesome. What can you tell us about your ring attire, your ring gear? Who came up with it, and how'd you adopt it to be your ring gear?
I don't know. What day of the week are you talking about? I'm just kidding. just kidding. I have a problem with gear. with my year in particular, because I tend to just go with neon colors and animal prints, and I can't for some reason get away from that. I don't know why. I really like animal print. I love animals. Like, I'm a big earth person. I'm a big animal person. Like, I'm real big into being green and recycling. And, in fact, my car that I'm sitting in right now is a Kia Soul Tiger Edition. So it's white, and it has tiger stripes, if this tells you anything. So it's more of an obsession with animal print, and, I don't know. If I see something and I like it, I buy it. Or I get, like, these creative notions going, and I start, like, putting stuff together. And I love metal on anything, like metal studs or, like, rhinestones and stuff. And so, like, any chance I get, I'm adding rhinestones and metal pieces onto, like, anything I get my hands on. So that would kind of explain it. It's very eclectic, I guess, is the word for it.
For sure. Now, obviously, you know, you talk about you've been in the business about 4 years now, and obviously you're very early in your career. But at this point, what do you consider your biggest strength? And then on the flip side, what do you think is the biggest weakness, or what do you think you need to work on the most to get better in the ring?
Oh, I definitely know my biggest weakness. Not to just – I'll start with negative and go positive.
Okay.
But I have, like, no – like, I don't know how to flip. I can't do, like, a cool, like, hand frame. I know that might sound silly, but, like, I feel like I kind of miss some of the fanciness in wrestling. Because I'm not, you know, an acrobat by any means. And I wish I was. Like, I wish that I had taken gymnastics and that I could at least, like, do a back hand spring. Like, that would be fantastic. So I feel like that's something that I'm missing, is kind of like the fancy, pretty stuff. But my strong suit, I feel, is I feel like I have a couple of strong suits. I mean, I feel one, it might sound cheesy, but I feel like I'm really good with connecting with fans, because I try to not snub anybody. Like, I try to be really open with, you know, with my fans and whoever gets a hold of me. I try to just, you know, be open to them and, you know, not, I don't want to ever superstar somebody. I know that sounds like a silly term, but, you know, I don't want someone to not feel comfortable to talk to me, especially fans. Like, I want them to be able to know that I'm approachable and they can come chill with me and take pictures or whatever it might be. So that's, like, a personal, I guess, thing that I think I'm strong at. But also, I feel like I'm, to quote Portia Perez, I'm deceptively strong. I don't feel like I just look like a huge powerhouse, but I do have a lot of strength. And I think, of course, it comes with the weight training and everything like that. I did do powerlifting off and on whenever I was younger. And so I do have strength, and that kind of helps. You know, if you're giving someone a body slam, I can actually pick a girl up with ease. Or, you know, I do a tilt-whirl slam. I do suplexes. You know, Northern Lights and things of that nature, where some girls who are built, you know, about my same size may not have that strength. And so I feel like that, you know, that's a good thing. It makes me happy. I'm like, yay, I'm strong.
Now, along the same course there, you were talking about, you know, previously your weight training, and of course you like to go to the gym and work out, and I just wonder what your training regimen is like, and what's your diet like? Are you a vegetarian, or do you eat a lot of protein, or what's your diet of choice?
You know, it's funny you bring up the vegetarian thing. I have recently changed my diet to vegetarian, and it was really not for any particular reason. I love meat. I just decided it would be fun to shock my system and go with just eating grains and fruits and vegetables. So right now I actually am a vegetarian, which I know there's a lot of vegetarians out there who probably punch me in the face because they're probably like diehard vegetarians, but I'm doing it just to shock my system, to try something new. But no, I do have a high protein, high fiber. I don't really eat a lot of bread. I don't eat sweets. I don't eat processed foods. I don't eat fast food. I drink black coffee. I drink green tea. I drink unsweetened tea. I don't drink soda. So, if that kind of tells you, that's like my diet. It's very clean.
What are your goals in wrestling? Obviously, you were talking about, you know, maybe someday being a WWE diva, but is there like other goals? Obviously, maybe you want to wrestle internationally, wrestle any opponents out there that, you know, you're talking about Mickie James. You're a fan of hers. Is there an opponent out there you like to face? Yeah, I guess what do you want to accomplish here in wrestling in the next, say, you know, handful of years?
I just realized I no-sold your question about training. I train twice a day, and then usually on like the third day I just do cardio. But I do a lot of weight training. I work out in the morning and then I work out at night. So that kind of helps explain my workout regimen. Whenever I'm not wrestling, I'm working out usually twice a day. So,
you're a gym rat.
Oh my god, it is literally past the point of being a gym rat. I live in the gym. I know every trainer in person that works at both of my gyms, and it's really like way too personal. I feel like I live there. So, no, I love it though. But, that kind of coincides with goals. If for whatever reason I don't make it internationally, I would love to work in Japan and Canada. Those are things I'm working on right now. In fact, I'm booked in Canada, in September. But I never want to say, like, okay, I'm going until it actually happens because, you know, things like that, your first time going, I just don't want to be too hopeful and be like, oh, yeah, it's happening, and it gets canceled. So I am booked to go to Canada in September, so I'm really, really excited about that. But other than that, I'm working on going to Japan. And past that, if wrestling, for whatever reason, doesn't work out, if I don't, you know, work for WWE or TNA or something likewise, where I can make like a living, you know, or whatever it might be, I would love to get into personal training and fitness modeling or fitness competitions, you know, that type of thing, because I do love working out so much. And so it's one of those things where I'm almost equally in love with wrestling and working out. And so if it doesn't go one way, I want it to kind of go the other. But obviously, I have the biggest crush, woman wrestling crush, on Mickie James. So that would be like my ultimate goal. I would love to work her. I also would love, love, love to bring Michelle McCool out of retirement and work her because I absolutely followed her whenever she was wrestling. And I'm also a really big fan of Layla. And so those. I guess, are my top three anyway.
What's your thought, you know, along the line of other promotions? We see a couple, like, all-women promotions. Obviously, Shimmer has, you know, they do their tapings and they have the DVDs they put out. We just saw a group in Florida called Shine. They had an all-women's pay-per-view, internet pay-per-view, and they just announced another pay-per-view. How about, what's your thoughts on maybe working for or wrestling on an all women's for an all women's promotion?
Oh, I would absolutely love it. In fact, Shine is the one that I would love to work for. One of my best friends, Santana Garrett, she lives in Florida, and she just works for them. And no, I would love it. It's just one of those things where it just hasn't worked out yet. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out until, you know, a certain point, and then you're probably there every day of your life after that. But I would love to work for Shine. Absolutely. I have the utmost respect for companies like WSU and Shimmer. And then I know ROH is obviously men and women, but I have respect for them as well. And I would love to work for them. As of right now, the only pretty much all women companies I'm working for, I am about to start working for one in Florida. And also Magnificent Ladies of Wrestling in Memphis. So, yeah. I'm not opposed to it.
So you're getting around out there anyways. You're getting bookings. You talked about Canada, and now you're talking Florida as well. So you're definitely expanding out there.
Yeah, and I I'm starting a deal in Louisiana with you touched base on this with Jazz, our tag team in Louisiana. So, and I think this next week, in fact, I'll be at NWA Wildcat, which is also in Louisiana.
Nice.
Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in 5 years from now?
Working for the WWE.
Awesome.
Hopefully. That's you know, we were, what I see, anyway.
You know, we were talking before we started the interview that we've, you know, we talked to a couple of girls before they went on to WWE. I can think of Beth Phoenix and Natalia we did interviews with, you know, before they signed with WWE. So maybe we can rub off on you, give you a little bit of luck and, you know, maybe push you towards Stamford, Connecticut at some point.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do.
As we wrap up, I know you're on Twitter. I know you're on Facebook. And go ahead and plug your social media. You can plug any websites you want to plug and maybe any future appearances you'll be making.
Okay. You know, honestly, with the future appearances, if you actually just go to my Facebook, I have Fans of Barbie Hayden, and that's Barbie with an I, no E. So Fans of Barbie Hayden on Facebook, or follow me on Twitter at Barbie Hayden. I'm constantly posting on there what shows I have coming up. This weekend in particular, I actually have off. Just some kind of family reflection time and family time, you know, was needed. So I have this weekend off, but I believe it is next weekend I'll be traveling to NWA Wildcat in Louisiana. And after that, I'll obviously be making stops at NWA Houston, Anarchy Championship Wrestling, at Branded Outlaw, and then, of course, companies here and there, you know, in between, all over Texas, and, yeah, so I'll be all over the place. But if you definitely keep up with me on Twitter or on Facebook, you will know the show is coming up.
Awesome. So definitely encourage the readers and the fans out here to do that. You can connect with her through social media. You can follow her, you know, through her travels in wrestling. I guess one more question before we wrap. Do you have a favorite match or maybe a favorite DVD that you could recommend to fans to check out some of your work?
I believe that the only DVDs I do have are through Magnificent Ladies of Wrestling. They do it sort of as a pay-per-view through the internet type deal, and there are just hundreds of matches to choose from on there. Also, if you check out Smart Mark, video, Anarchy works with them to get out their DVDs, and I am on a few of those, so if you'd like to check out those videos. Also, if you're a promoter or, you know, a fan even, if you want to contact me directly and privately, I do have an email. It's barbie.hayden@live.com. That's barbie.hayden@live.com.
Awesome. So, again, you can check out her work. You can buy the DVDs, or I think you're on YouTube as well. You can check out some of your matches. So we definitely encourage people that are interested in you and your fans out there to check those out. So
check out me and Angel Blue. We have some amazing matches.
Awesome. So we will definitely encourage the readers to do that, the listeners as well. And we do appreciate your time today, Barbie. It's been a great interview. We've really got a chance to meet you and know you a little bit better. And we wish you all the best. And, you know, maybe someday you'll be a WWE diva, Barbie Hayden.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Seriously, thank you.